This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. We are back. I hope our audio sounds a little better. Man, y'all put us through the ringer in that Discord on Friday. And Ryan and I had took that a little personally, bro. I look at some shit. So this is our first time recording on a different, interface, software of a recording mechanism for the podcast. So we hope it sounds better. And then I'm getting my new mics already here. I'm getting the interface tomorrow. So within like a week and a half, this shit should sound super crisp. So bear with us. So we just hope that it sounds a little better from the jump. And we got some shit to talk about, Ryan. Today's Wednesday night. We got preseason football on Saturday. The Saints are playing. There's preseason football that just in general NFL is tomorrow. And we got to talk about the Jameis injury scare. We got to talk about their quarterback controversy in the boot.
What?
I want to keep this as concise as possible. So I know we typically are long-winded, so we might go a little long. So we're just going to dive right into it, bro. I don't even remember what day it was. So this was Saturday, or maybe it was Monday that Jameis, I think it was maybe Monday, that there was an injury scare that Jameis tweaked his foot, and news comes out that it's a sprained foot. He's going to miss a couple practices. He's not going to play in the preseason game against the Texans on Saturday. And one thing that I do appreciate about Dennis Allen is just transparency about injuries, man. Like it's just so refreshing, bro. Right. Like, oh, he has a sprained foot. Oh, Pete Warner, like he has a groin injury. Like the Sean Payton way of just like, oh, I can't tell anything about any little injury because it's a competitive advantage. It's and, like, God.
And damn. The thing that's funny about it is it makes you realize how stupid that shit was. Because it's like when you're not saying it, like when Sean Payton's like making it a secret, it becomes a whole thing. Like everybody on the TL, any information about, you know, like y'all heard anything yet? Like we going crazy.
You become like crackheads, bro. Like is there something?
Yeah, we're like, what? But you're just saying it's like, oh, okay. Oh, you know, like that's it. Like it's just you know, the beat reporters write it down, they tweet it out, and that's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I understand to a certain extent you can't put all information out as far as like a player's health.
Of course.
And
of
like
course.
When they're going to be healthy and all that stuff. Like if somebody rolled an ankle, it's like, yeah, he rolled his ankle, you know. It's like what and just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Like it ain't hard, man. Like Sean Payton used to be like, I'm not talking about injuries. I'm not gonna do that with you guys. It's like, bro, calm down.
What? It's so funny too, because shout out to Captain Terrell, bro, because she's the injury question asker, bro. Even today, like she asked about.
Can't go get it in. Can't go get it in, boy.
She asked about Pete Warner. I heard. I was like, they're cat. There she is. I appreciate it though. So you know, it probably not the best encouraging news in regards to, you know, but at least it's nothing serious, anything like that. But well, you use that as a little lead, bro. A little lead. Not LEAD, LEDE. See, some of these clips posted, bro. Some of these balls and the red rifle is throwing, bro. Looking crisp,
Ready
bro.
Ready Bridgewater, boy. He putting them out. Them little dimes, man. You know?
Bro.
I'm like, hey, bro, I said it. Look, when I saw Jameis get hurt, I'm like, man, Andy Dalton about to get some valuable snaps. Like, very valuable.
Valuable.
snaps in this at this point of camp, man, where like the offense is starting to come together. You know, the installs are pretty much done and guys are just working their way into the offense. Like these snaps here are very valuable. And for him, it's extremely valuable since he's new to the offense. So I was just like, this is going to be interesting. Not saying, you know, there's a QB controversy or nothing, but look, Andy Dalton was a starter in his league for, you know, years. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's just like this guy that was just, you know, just rolled off the turf or whatever. Like, he came into the league, started his rookie season and played, you know, 8-9 years as a starter, went to playoff games and won a lot of games. He's a, you know, good quarterback, you know, and so he's going to look good, especially in practice, like especially in training camp. He's yes. going to look really good, yes. and he's going to execute this offense. And this honestly, this offense tailor made for him. This is, you know, it's similar to the Jay Gruden offense that he ran yep. and did real well in. So you know, this is tailor made for him. That's why he loved it. I listened to his interview today. He just loves it. He says he has the whole playbook in his head. And he ready to roll. He said he wants to start. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I mean, this is like good problems, bro. Like, this is not a bad problem. This is like good things.
It is. I gotta just stoke the fire a little bit, Ryan. Just a little bit, bro.
Just saying. Yeah, man. I already predicted he was gonna have at least one game where he just go off the season. At least one.
And the way you could look at it as a Saints fan, all joking aside, because there isn't a quarterback controversy, although some of the balls look kind of good, though. But when the Saints went from Jameis to Trevor Siemian to Taysom to Ian Book, like, I think the front office just made up their mind, like, man, we're never going to have a Miami type of game again. Like, that game was...
That was rock bottom, bro.
Rock bottom. And so many players were missing because of COVID and et cetera, et cetera. But I think they looked at it and said, listen, we see ourselves as a team that compete in the NFC. We could maybe be a top three, top four, maybe even a top two team in the NFC. Obviously, a lot of things have to go right. And if Jameis gets hurt, like, we want to be able to have a quality backup who can win us maybe 1 to 3 games and keep us afloat until Jameis gets back. And I think that's what they have in Andy Dalton. I think you kind of said it perfectly in our Discord, is that there's not a quarterback competition or quarterback controversy, but Jameis go on out. You know, he have a skid where he looking like last season in Tampa Bay, Jameis? Throwing like multiple INTs a game, bro. Then completely different conversation.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. And look, quarterbacks have skids. Like, they do. Drew Brees had them. Drew Brees have 3 straight games where he's throwing like multiple picks. And it's like, what's wrong with Drew? You know? So Peyton Manning has had those skids. Tom Brady, everybody, every quarterback has those little slumps. And I'm like, And Jameis is not those guys. You know what I'm saying? So if he has like a 2 to 3 game slump where it's like, man, he's just not seeing things right, I mean, it'll be hard not to just throw Dalton out there, you know, and especially if like the Saints are competing, you know, then in a playoff hunt and stuff like that. Like, you just can't risk that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's not just, you know, Barry Jameis or anything like that, but we also got to understand where we at right now as you know, a quarterback. We're not sitting there with a top 5 quarterback.
Right.
You know, so to have 2 guys that are, you know, top 20-ish type quarterbacks, man, that's a solid situation.
You know, it is. And it could be a lot worse. So I still think that I know he's had a couple of better practices here late the last couple of days. I just wonder, is there room for Ian Book? And that, I don't know, man. That he's, I just find him, like, it's hard for me to see, like, him making the team, but who knows? They may keep three at quarterback.
Who knows?
Speaking of throwing passes and things of that nature, we would be remiss if we. I know we talked about it last episode. We talked about it in previous episodes, bro. I am saying here on the podcast, on the record, number 13, he back. Back, bro.
Ready to say he fully back?
I think he's 100% back.
Man.
I think I put it in the Discord, bro. The John Wick in the first one, like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back, bro. Like, it's just every day he dominating, just dominating, yeah. A dog. No, like every single practice. Oh, he scored like what? Was it three touchdowns today? Four touchdowns today?
Four, I think, man.
Four. And
putting that work out there.
And he don't, and it kind of makes me, I mean, not annoyed, but I would love for like a healthy Marshawn to get matched up against him and just swap. Like, I know Paulson Adebo have been like the star of training camp or been like one of the biggest stars of training camp, and it sounds like he's.
That's kind of quieted down the last couple of days.
Yeah, bro.
He ain't really been here much the last couple of days, man. I'm like, oh, well.
And I gotta be careful
with the training camp stuff.
Yes, and I think DA said it the best today in this presser. I listen to all the pressers. It's hard for me to listen to pressers when I'm working, but sometimes I'm able to listen to them. But the DA one, I listen to most of it. And someone asked him a question of like, how do you evaluate things you've seen in practice and in training camp versus maybe a performance you see in a preseason game? And DA's answer to it was great. And long story short, basically is like, at the end of the day, like, this is like a results-driven league. Like, our jobs are based on resource-driven. So, you know, we, you know, put more weight into performances than preseason games. It's not saying that training camp practices are not important and training camp's not important.
Right.
They obviously are, but like how you play in the game, that matters. And I don't want to, and I'm not saying that to diminish like probably the great training camp that Paulson Adebo has had. It sounds like for all intents and purposes, he's had a great training camp. And I do honestly think he's ready to take a leap in his career and in his play. Is he, do we have like, our as fans, are we seeing a team that can maybe, that has two CB1s? I don't know, bro. I don't know about that.
No, you know, that's hard to say.
But,
you know,
I just wanted to get to back to Mike Thomas and just say that if he is 100% back, or let's say 95, right? Let's do a margin.
Man.
Let's say he's. I know you know, but I got to ask it. Do you know how much that dramatically changes the entire offense?
Oh my God. I mean, I really can't overstate how dramatically that impacts the offense. I can't. Like, you're talking about a guy who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, was Offensive Player of the Year, caught 149 passes in, you know, 2019. Who, you know, he's a wide receiver one. He gets the best cornerback. Like, it just changes everything, man. It changes how the defenses play you. And, you know, and his whole time here, maybe except for his first season, he hadn't had a wide receiving core with them, you know, like they do this year, you know, potentially anyway. So, like, bro, like that, like, it's huge, bro. The fact that he's coming back the way he is, and it's what we, you know, it's what we all hope for, too, because, I mean, look, it was only, what, a month ago we was looking at him running, what, a straight line on a video, like, ooh, I don't know.
It's what we hope for, but, like, in all honesty, I don't think any of us, none of us expected this, bro. None of us did. Period.
Honestly, I expected him to still be on PUP. I expected him to still be on the PUP at this time. Like, that's what was in my mind. I was like, oh, he's going to be on the PUP for about 2 weeks, then come back slowly, and then, you know, at some point in the season, you know, he'll start coming back. But for him to be cutting, and that's the thing. That's the key part about it. It's not like that he's just out there, but he's doing Mike Thomas things.
Yes.
He's doing those, like, just nasty cuts, just sticking his foot in the dirt, just getting in the air, falling, you know, just playing that violent game he likes to play. That's the shit that's really selling me. Like, man, okay. Yeah, I think he back, bro. Like, I think he back.
I think he is too, bro. I think, like, you said it perfectly. It's the cuts. Like, and for a player that the concern with him coming back was his ankle. Is his ankle going to hold up? For him to, I mean, you know, we're still, what, a month-ish away from the regular season starting. But for him to be able to make these cuts right now in training camp, man. And to your point about him not having to be the guy, or him not having a wide receiver, you know, crew like this year, the fact that if he is back and he's true dominant wide receiver one, and then he doesn't have to be relied on to be the dog. Like, it's like, because defenses at some point, even at Mike's peak, and he might regain his peak, but like, oh, we just clue in on 13 and 41, and we good.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
That was it.
But if he's back, well, shit, I can try to clue in on 13, but shit, what about 80? What about 12? Like,
80 gonna give you a headache.
Headache
is gonna piss you off
in the slot. And I have it written down on my page of things I want to talk about is Chris Olave is making more and more plays in training camp, making more and more plays in the end zone. His route running, we already knew what his route running was. Like, route running is a thing that from a college prospect to the NFL is a very easy thing that translates. But now you're hearing that now in training camp, he's being able to beat press man that maybe he struggled with earlier in training camp. Like, oh, I need to, you know, this
that
is
was
how
the
I
key.
Can beat the defender off the line of scrimmage to get free. And
that was his major question. Like,
it was because one of the detractions and his detractor was like, you know, when he gets to the NFL, he's going to get manhandled. They're going to kind of the same thing to a full degree, not a lesser degree, that we heard about Devontae Smith. And I know I had my concerns
right.
with Devontae Smith of the prospect, bro.
Right. Exactly. Me too.
And he's been fine. He's been damn good. Right. So for Olave, I don't call it a touchdown if you want. I don't know if it was. I don't know if you saw the video I sent you of CD.
Oh, no, I saw it.
Okay. So he made that play, and you could cut that catch, quote unquote, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, and like juxtapose it against like some of the plays he made in the end zone at Ohio State, bruh, and it's like a carbon copy.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's crazy. And say what?
I was just gonna say, man, this offense might be a problem, bro.
I'm so reluctant, man. I don't want to say it.
Hey, like you said, bro. You remember was it you that sent me the shit about the Commanders, bro?
Oh, yeah.
we might not win a game this season,
bro. Like Chris Gray, like. In training camp to be thinking that, bro, like that's just man.
So that's what I'm saying, bro. This is the peak of optimism, the peak of like hyperbole is a month before the season starts. And I'm saying it. I'm saying it, Ryan. This offense has all the potentials of being a problem. A big problem. The three big questions I have. Is
burning questions?
Not burning, but they simmering. Is What are we getting at from 51? If Trevor Penning's starting, can he have like one of those plug and play left tackles where he's a rookie and you don't have to worry about him type of seasons? Mm. And then the biggest one is the one who fucking stirs the fucking pot is Jameis. Like, those are the big questions right now, bro. Like, I think
that's some big questions.
Those are huge, bro. What up? But the potential is there for this offense to truly be explosive.
It really is, man. Like, it's just so interesting. It's going to be so interesting to see how it plays out because for so long when we had like a talented offense, we had a crap defense. So, you know, the hope is we have a really good defense this year and a talented offense. So I wonder how it's going to balance out, you know, like who's going to be able to, will both be able to shine? Because we've seen in the past.
I know where this is going.
It's like when the offense ball and defense like, shit, we could chill, bro. We just made sure we keep them about 28 points. We good. So I just wonder if they will adopt that mentality or will they keep that, like, that mentality they had last year where it was like, we going to defend every blade of grass. If we die on the field, we going to make sure that team doesn't get in the end zone. Like, that's how they was playing last year. Yes. Like, Even though Miami put like 20 points on them in that Miami game where like half the team was injured, half the starters were injured, like they fought like they could fight no more in that game.
Yeah, go like watch it was still close at halftime.
It was close, bro. And go watch that Tampa Bay game, the second one with Taysom Hill. I mean, just look at the scoreboard, bro. Like Saints did score a touchdown and won handedly.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying, like. Bro. So I just want to know, will the defense keep that same mentality? We know they got the talent, but will they keep that same mentality if the offense becomes like a 30-point-a-game type offense?
Because if
you know, I'm interested to see.
It is because we remember, bro, like when Drew Brees would go down and Teddy would have to be the quarterback or Taysom would have to be the quarterback. It was like that. It was
defense like the defense would be like.
Transport, bro. It's like, I got this.
We was talking about, man, how are we gonna extend Eli Apple? Eli Apple shutting them down, man.
And now every Cincinnati, every Bengal highlight, you see Jamar Chase. I mean, to be fair to Eli Apple, Jamar Chase give everybody problems, bro. Everybody problems. I'll say this about the team. So, for the upcoming season, I'll be at 3 games. I'll be at the Raiders game, obviously. I'm going to be at the London game, the Vikings game, and then I'll be in the Bay Area for the Niners game. For a second, I honestly thought about, you know what, man? Let me look at these Bengals ticket prices, bro. Because, like, you want to talk about football porn? You want to talk about football porn? You got two LSU darlings, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. You gonna have Marshawn lined up on Jamar Chase most of the game. Paulson Adebo on T. Higgins. Like, you got Trigger Trey coming back to the dome, bro. Like, that game right there is like
that game gonna be crazy, bro.
Crazy, It didn't work out like with my schedule and everything I have going on this year in the season. But I didn't even want to, like, I wanted to be there for the game, but just I kind of wanted just to be in New Orleans just to be in the city, like, for a game like that, man. Cause,
oh, yeah.
It's been a while. Like, every time I've been in New Orleans to, like, go to a game, it's been such a long time where I've left the dome and it's been a win. And, like, that feeling that. There's nothing like the feeling of leaving the dome after a win, man. It is like, if you could bottle that up, oh,
man.
There's nothing like
it. The whole city, man. The vibe just be so nice in the whole city, man. Just Even going to the corner store, everybody just like, who that? Just out of randomness. Like, I ain't got no Saints jersey out of nothing. I'm just walking like, who that? And like, yeah.
I just, I want to feel it again. Something I did want to talk to you about. So we talked about the defense. Let's stay on the defense. I tweeted it earlier today, and then I had to fucking mute the conversation. All I said, because so Pete Warner was missing in practice today. DA says that he has a groin injury. If you're a football fan and you watch a lot of football or been tuned to football, you will know that like groin injuries are nagging, and they like are gonna. So if he has a groin injury, man, Pete Warner's gonna have a groin injury all season. Period.
All season.
And it's just gonna be about can he play and can it like in pain management. And all I tweeted, because Pete Warner is a huge part of like this defensive puzzle for them to be elite. Like let's be honest about that. And I remember when we were talking, I think we did, was it when we did a Brian show and we talked about like players that, you know, unexpected that may like just take a tremendous leap. And I went with Pete Warner, bro. Like everything in his rookie season was, you know, on that trek. So, but now it's like he got a groin injury, and then like he missed like a couple of games first week of his rookie season. So it's like he kind of like injury prone. And I hate saying injury prone because like these are grown men who like play a very fucking dangerous sport. So maybe I won't use the word injury prone. But all I tweeted was like, just you know, like the Saints not bringing back Kwan is going to come back to bite them in the ass at some point. The season. It's just going to. And everyone was like, oh, you know, technically the Saints offered him a contract and he just wanted to be on. And I'm just like, I have done this podcast shit on and off for like 5 fucking years. Like, I don't say shit or tweet shit that like I don't know at least a little minute thing of what I'm talking about. And so all I ask that people who are in my mentions until I mute the conversation is like, where did that come from? Like, who did that come from? Like, that came from the Saints. Like, that was put out by the team. And people, like, fans need to realize that if the team put something out, sometimes they just put that out just to, like, for them to, like, save face. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, it may not be what actually happened. And so,
yeah,
I will say that. So Pete Warner's out. But don't know what happened to Bonfire, bro. Like he been missing practice the last couple of days.
Man, don't nobody even care, to be honest. Nobody even asked. Nobody even asked. Like, man, where's Zach Bond at? It's just like, no, nobody cares, bro. Like, he out injured and is like. Who gives a shit, bro? Like, nobody cares, man. I am infuriated about Zach Bond, bro. Like,
that dude, I know you are, bro. Talk about it. Just go ahead and talk about it. I'm going to give you the
platform. Like, there's all this talk about, man, Saints then at LB2 or whatever. It's like, they have a 6'3", 230-pound linebacker.
Who's like a third-round pick?
Third round pick sitting right there. It's like he's there. It's just annoying, man. Annoying, bro.
When you said right there, all I could picture was like the LeBron and J.R. Smith meme, bro, where it's like, what the?
Exactly. That's what was in my head. It's like, it's right there. It's just so annoying. And the problem is, I don't even know who to be mad at. I mean, I could be mad at the Saints, obviously, for, you know, maybe picking the wrong player or whatever, but it's like, it's just like, man, like, it's just annoying, man. Like,
it is, because,
you know, I do wish they got Kwan. Like, I really do. Like, we screamed it all offseason. Like, he's Kwan, just sitting there, and it's like, man, just get Kwan.
You know who else was out there? And I don't even know if he's good anymore, but like, Anthony Barr was out there, like, just as a body. Anthony Barr. Now the Cowboys, because. Now you're down. I'm not saying you're down, Pete Warner, because he may be back, but like groins are tricky. It's he's gonna be in and out almost all season. Like, I don't think you're going to get consistent, like, Pete Warner played, like, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Like, groins are just a hard thing to right. deal with. So you have to deal, you're going to have to be dealing with that. We just saw the belt that bond. The linebacker, DeMarco Jackson, that they drafted in the 5th round, he's on IR. Like, who is going to be next yeah. to DeMario, bro? Caden Ellis? Andrew Darwell? Like,
hey, you just got to pray. You just got to pray DeMario is just that picture of health that he has been. Even he's what, 32, 33?
Yes.
You just got to pray he's just a picture of health. Like, I don't that's one of the parts of the Saints where I'm just like, man, I'm not a big fan of that depth.
Not a fan of the depth, and I don't want to say, like, what's the vision, because obviously the vision has been like, oh, okay, we got one of the best linebackers, off-the-ball linebackers in DeMario Davis. We drafted this linebacker from Ohio State in the 2nd round, so that's our pair. But, something. And someone, like, I know my dude Jordan was like, man, was like, maybe the Saints should, you know, sign Joe Sherbert. No, that's the ice cream? Not the ice cream? Sherbert.
Sherbert.
Anyway, who did like a tryout during like OTAs or minicamp or whatever, who was with the Browns? No, the Jags. No, the Steelers last season. I don't know, man. Like, defensively, that LB2 spot and probably defensive tackle worries me the most. Although, I'm saying all this about the defense, yeah. and I'm kind of not a lot has happened since the last time we recorded. There's like this elephant in the room I haven't even addressed, bruh. Two firsts is back, man. Off puff. You know? Got a little attitude to him. Like,
attitude. So I'm on a press. So I'm like, okay, bro. Like, he's just a little snippy. I'm like, okay,
yeah, bro. He's like, yeah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I was doing all right until I saw, like, someone took a picture.
y'all put them pictures out. And look, here go Cat. Cat, like, so, you know, so what, you how'd you feel about those pictures coming out?
Bro, when she asked that follow up question,
I said, can't miss it, boy. Can't miss it, bro.
this kid cat's like, she Diane Walters doing, but she got doing an investigative interview, bro.
You know, and look, I get it from his perspective, man. Yes. I get it. Like, that's like, it's like, you know.
But part of me is also nobody, like, you know, man, like, you play in the NFL, like, at some point, like, there's 4K cameras that's going to be on your hands. Like, I don't know.
Man, like, I don't know. Rep that shit, man. Like, who's that safety with the 49ers back in the day? Like, John Lott? Like, he had Ronnie Lott had to cut his finger off during the Super Bowl game and all that. Rep on that shit, bro.
How do you think, Shaquille Griffin made, like, a career out of it, bro? Like,
man. Oh, got no hand, man. Man, has no hand.
He doing just fine.
Fine, man. You got a little nub pinky, man. Like, man, throw a little ring on that thing, you know? Like,
all jokes aside, you know, I'm glad he came off PUP, because the day before he came off PUP, I remember you had said, like, in the Discord, just, like, listening to DA talk about him. He's talking about, like, managing his health.
Yeah.
He's like,
man, yeah, I was getting worried. I was like, what is going on? What's going on with MD? Like, it's more than the pinky. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. It's good that he's off PUP, because we've been on it all these last couple of episodes and just saying that for this defense to be elite, truly elite, first you had to get Honey Badger back. He came back. And then you got to get a healthy dose for however long it can last, man. I don't know how long we're going to get, but however long we can get Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner healthy at the same time and playing games at the same time, you got to win those games.
Does Vegas have a line on that?
Bro, why was I just about to ask you, give me the over-under for how many games?
I'd say under 5 games. That's what I say. They're both of them on the field
again. I was gonna set it at 4 too. Bro, if we don't know this team. So if they can just be healthy 75% of the season, like maybe one of them has to miss a game or two or three or whatever. But if they can be healthy together 75% of the season, and Peyton Turner takes a step, Marcus Davenport has a season that he had last year, you have Cam Jordan, you have Tano, you have Big Creep. I mean, I don't think he does, but like it all depends on preseason. But shit, is Taco Charlton gonna make the team, bro? Like Taco Charlton?
I mean, I don't know.
We'll see.
He was a first round pick, and he was, you know. He got some love in that draft coming out. I wasn't a fan, but I mean, you know, he's a player, bro. So if he can get in, to get him in.
But just the luxury of just throwing guys at offenses.
Bodies.
Just never.
And, like, you know, D.A. talked about it. I don't remember the presser, but talking about just like keeping – well, really it was Ryan Nielsen talking about just keeping guys ready to go for 4 quarters, man. Like. You know, that's just such a key thing. We already know, like, 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, man, that's like time. It's time to go. Yep. You know, so, I mean, it's so critical to have D linemen that are fresh and ready and, you know, not beat down. And, you know, they can make a game-changing play, you know?
Huge. Huge. I mean, we talked about it recently when we were talking about Cam Jordan's Hall of Fame is that play he made against Dallas. Like those are the plays that defensive edges get paid to make when the game's taken down on the
Marcus
line.
DeMarcus Ware, you know, 2009 ending the Saints undefeated streak, you know what I'm saying?
I'll never forget where I fucking was, bro. I was working at this little local Italian restaurant here that I worked at for almost 3 years, and I was working. I couldn't get the day off. It was on a Thursday. It was Thursday night football. Couldn't get it off. But I worked in like the takeout area, and they had the game on in like the bar area, so I could see it from like where I was. And my manager, my boss, was a Cowboys fan. And when I tell you, that was an awful experience, bro. Anyway, whatever. Still got the ending we wanted, but. That game, I just felt, it was gross. Anyway, so we talked about the Warner. We talked about the Warner thing. I'm a little concerned about it. It's one of those things, like, you know, when cuts start happening, man, they need to be on the lookout for maybe Sean getting a linebacker, bro. Like, I think it's getting to be a little worrisome unless they just in-house 100% believe in, like, Caden Ellis and Andrew, you know, Duell and Eric Wilson.
Chase Hansen.
I guess. What's up, Ryan?
Yo.
I'm just going to say this. I don't want you to get offended. I'm a big dude. You a big dude.
Damn.
And I know sometimes weight loss has been an issue that we both dealt with our entire lives. But I want to tell you about something that I came across about this great new company called Vertimax.
Okay.
Did you know that Vertimax is the leading sports performance and fitness equipment company that's used by half of D1 programs and half of the NFL and NBA teams? We have an NFL podcast. It's used by professional leagues as well as other teams all around the world. There's the Vertimax platform, and there's a Vertimax Raptor used to help athletes improve their performance on the field for almost 3 decades. That's almost as old as you. I know we pick on him, but did you know that we pick on him in terms of his little his workouts? But Jameis Winston actually has trained on a Vertimax Raptor in the King of New Orleans himself. Drew Brees has trained on a Vertimax platform along with other top NFL and college football pro athletes. I was just scrolling on TikTok. I saw Amari Cooper using a Vertimax machine.
Wow.
We know we have a lot of listeners that have kids. They're in sports. They're in soccer, baseball, football, track and field, you name it. If you're a parent and you want to help your child improve in terms of their sports performance, or maybe you just feel like you just want to get your body right for the summer and get fit, you need to check out Vertimax. So all you have to do is go to Vertimax.com or follow them on social media at Vertimax. That's Vertimax. Again, that's at Vertimax, Vertimax.com. Look into getting yourself a Vertimax platform, a Vertimax Raptor, and tell me you won't see the improvement.
Bring back Craig Robinson shit.
Man, let me leave Craig retired, bro. Craig doing just fine. A topic I wanted to talk to, a couple more topics I want to talk about. I got about three. We're going to finish up with like just talking about the Texans preseason game and everything. Can we talk about the wide receiver depth on this team, man? And what a difference a year makes.
Oh, my God.
Just Mike Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave,
boom,
Deontay Hardy. This is in no order, by the way, people are listening. Traquan Smith, Marquez Callaway, Kurt Merritt. And I'm going to include him in here because I know people don't think he has a chance to make the team, but Kevin White's like getting first team snaps with special teams.
Hey. I'm just saying.
So I'm going to leave Kevin White off of it. So let's just go with the seven.
But I'm just saying, you're going from Marquez Callaway being your wide receiver one to wide receiver five? It's like, that's crazy. That's wild.
I'm going to say this out loud, and I know people might listen to it and be like, nah, there's no way. I don't even know if Marquez Callaway going to make the team, bro.
I don't know, man. Do you think it's out of him or Traquan? Or do you think it's a different battle?
I think it's between Callaway and this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say, like, preface in my saying, I don't know what the team is planning on, but I think it might be between Callaway and Deontay Hardy. If they feel like maybe they're so apart in contract talks and they don't want to let him walk for nothing, maybe, like, if I'm running the team, I want Hardy on the team this year because I want to scare defenses shitless and when I put out Olave and Hardy on the field at the same time, bro. Like, I want defensive coordinators to be like, oh, shit, we got to fucking pull all the safeties back. Like, pull them back.
Right.
Okay? And then, like, everything underneath is open. But if they feel that, like, contract talks are that far apart, the first team I'm calling is Chicago. First team, bro.
They first on the list, bro.
Hey, Poles, you want a fourth for Deontay Hardy? I would shoot for a fourth. Maybe you don't get one, but maybe you could get a fourth for Deontay Hardy with the speed if you really kind of shine him up and be like, hey, go watch him last year, the snaps that he played when he was healthy.
He'd actually be a good trade for them. Like, actually upgrade their roster. Like,
he would, man. So I think that's really where the battle is. And I'm not, and people listen to this may think it's crazy, but like, I think it's between Deontay Hardy, depending on how the team sees him in the future, and Marquez Callaway. But just to think we're having this conversation where, like, maybe Mark... And let's not, like, Marcus Callaway would have at least some value around the league, right? Like, he's not...
I think so.
He's not a chump. But I really think, like, this Kurt Merritt, like, awakening is, like, real. And this is where...
Yeah.
This is where we get back to what DA said.
Yes.
Training camp, practices, like, that's all fine and dandy. OTAs, mini camps... But we gonna see it on Saturday, bruh. Like,
cause, I mean, cause we should remember when Emmanuel Butler.
Butler time.
It was everybody was like, man, Emmanuel Butler is just catching everything in camp. Come preseason,
crickets.
Where is he? Like, crickets.
And our one dude, Trav was like, I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it. Nope. The one person that was like, y'all get not? And that was a thirst, bro. Like, that's how thirsty we were. We just wanted, we just needed.
It was thirsty for wide receiver. And to be honest, like, his competition wasn't that great.
Correct. You
know, so
it wasn't.
It was easy to shine. So, I mean, we're going to see with Kurt Meredith and, not Kurt Meredith. What's his name? The undrafted wide receiver.
Dixon or should
No, you just said his name.
Who?
Wide receiver that's trying to make the team.
Kurt Merritt?
What's his name? Yeah, Kurt Merritt. I said Kurt Meredith.
Oh, you said Meredith. Oh, you think about Cam Meredith.
Yeah. Cam Meredith. Yeah.
that's my new favorite Ryanism. Just combining two players.
Just combining two players, man. Oh, yeah. But, like, it's so key for him. Like, because if he has a really good preseason, man, it's going to be tough, bro. It's gonna
if
be
he
tough,
had a legal preseason, I don't think you could cut him. And I say that because, in theory, let's say they decide, you know what, you know, we can move on from Callaway. Maybe we can move on from Hardy and feel like we can get draft assets for both of them. The thing I keep bringing up is, like, if Jarvis Landry balls out this season, he has a good to great season for his standards, number-wise, team success-wise, whatever. He's going to want to get paid and want a pay increase that the Saints just financially probably will not be able to afford next year.
Right.
So I think that's something that they do have to keep in mind is, like,
yeah,
you know, we could have, you know, I could have Marquez Callaway on a very, like, super, super cheap deal, and he is a suitable wide receiver for, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the only thing I kind of give pause to being, thinking that you're so flush at, you know, wealth at that position that you just start trading willy-nilly. And you just kind of, you still have to have foresight for next season.
And you also have to include the, you know, what Mike Triplett was talking about, you know, Callaway doesn't do special teams.
Yep.
Traquan, as much as we bash on him, you know, he's a great blocker. They love him, his blocking game. You know, coaches value that shit. We might not value it much, but
yep, they do
value it. And, you know, and look, you know, Deonte Hardy, you know, he was a Pro Bowl kick returner.
All pro
kick returner. So, you know, and he has that under his belt. He wasn't as good last year. And he's talked about that. He wants to be, you know, kind of bounce back. So it's going to be tough, man. Like, Traquan, we wouldn't save any money this year if we cut him, which, you know, it kind of caught me in my eye today. I was like, damn, like, why we gave Traquan a $2 million roster bonus? Like, damn, signing bonus. I mean,
thirsty, bro.
Like, Traquan Smith? You really have to give Traquan Smith $2 million signing bonus, bro? Like, come on, man. Come
and,
on,
And, you know, the Falcons was after him,
has
too.
Has he caught 40 balls?
I don't think he has, bro. I really don't think he has.
So, it's like, somebody got to throw us a pick, right? All these wide receivers, somebody should throw us a pick.
Somebody. At least one. I really hope that they do decide to keep and hang on to Hardy for at least one season, because I would just say give Jameis every reason to succeed, man. Give him every reason to.
Exactly.
He had a connection with Deontay last season. Yeah, just it. If you're going to try to be all in like you've shown you're trying to be, just keep it afloat. Keep Deontay for one season. If he leaves next year, I mean, this is kind of what the Saints do, bro. Marcus Williams gone.
Yeah,
Trigger Trey
gone.
So like we say, like we can't let Deontay Hardy walk for nothing. Like, come on. Last thing I want to hit before we get into this Texans preview. Texans preview is not going to be super long. Just want to talk about some things we're looking out for in that game. I brought him up earlier in the pod. Trevor Penning, if you keep reading these post game practice, you know, write ups, you know, John Hendricks is writing, you know, doing a great job as he always does. Trevor Penning getting about time more with the ones at LT, bro. He's holding up on his own. You said it on this pod when we brought him up last episode for last, whatever it was, that if he wins the starting left tackle position, it's not like something that's going to be like gifted to him. Like he's literally going to come in and like earn it and literally outplay James Hurst for it. Since that scuffle that he got kicked out of practice for, since then, you haven't heard a peep about Trevor Penning. Only thing that you've heard about him is like he's getting more times in with the ones at left tackle. That, to me, is super telling. Because I think after that scuffle, and if you haven't watched that Zach Strief, like 1 minute, minute and a half, you know, a little insight about Trevor Penning that was like out a couple of days ago, I retweeted it. Please do, because I think you kind of gain more insight. It's basically Zach Strief said, like, listen, like out of the three incidences that Penning's been in, two, he was doing the right thing. He was blocking his ass off and he basically pancaked the guy and the opposing player got upset about it. he's like, that's what we're fucking looking. Like, that's what we're looking for. Like, yeah, there was one where we have to be like, hey, you know, that's your teammate, blah, blah. I can't do that. But he's like, it's like 2-1. Ever since that big commotion, bro, we talked about on the podcast, how kind of annoyed we were, bro. He's just coming in and just working. And so I said that out of the three things, if you could have Trevor Penning be just come in as a rookie and be a better player than James Hurst as a rookie at left tackle, and you feel like you don't have to worry about him in the sense of maybe you don't have to send help to the left side. I'm not saying you have to do that every play, like he's just going to be blocking the best edge rushers without help from time to time. But like, that is huge. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Oh. But just a little peek into the Texans preview, bruh. I don't watch O-line play heavily, but number 70, bruh, my eye is going to be on him when he's playing.
Oh, yeah. No question. No question about it. And, man, if he is that guy, like, maybe he'll never be like a, you know, a Pro Bowl left tackle. But say he's just a good left tackle. Bro, that's huge, bro. And, huge. You know, you come out that draft with Chris Olave, who, you know, so far looks like the real deal. And say Penning is real deal left tackle. You got Alante Taylor, who should be a contributor on defense. Man, like, that's a good draft. Just those three players.
It is. Especially when you consider the first two are on a quote-unquote lesser-controlled contract that you can control for 5 years.
5 years, man. 5 years.
5 years.
And key positions, you know?
Yeah, because as we've seen, bro, I mean, think about it. Imagine if Chris Olave is what we think he is. Christian Kirk just got 17 mil a year at wide receiver, bro.
Christian Kirk.
What do you think that number going to be in 5 years is Chris Olave doing Chris Olave things?
Mike Thomas is still locked up, you know? You got Jarvis on the 1 year, but then you got young bucks like you know, Kirk. You know, like, man,
and shout out to our guy Coach GM in our Discord. I didn't realize that Kurt Merritt had like a two in decent exposure incidences in college. So, like, you know how we do on this podcast, bro. Like, we, you know, you famously have named Carl Granderson. Like, he's just hashtag Big Creep now. Like, that's just his name. Kurt Merg, I mean, if he sticks with the team, bro, he gotta be hashtag Dick Exposure. Sorry. Just out there pulling it out. Just don't make the rules, bro.
Mr. Dick Pick, got it.
I don't even think it was a pick, bro. I think he was just out there just pulling out. I don't know. I gotta make that sound when I do it. But if he's like, let's say Kurt Merritt can be a wide receiver 4, who's undrafted, like that's huge. But I'm really gonna be watching Trevor Penning heavily against the Texans, man. Like, I really want to see him. So let's just get into it. I'll also say this about Penning before we get real quick. I think the chances of him starting week 1 against the Falcons is getting higher and higher as days go by.
Interesting. That'd be huge, man.
I'm going to ask you this, and I know it doesn't. Why when the unofficial depth chart comes out, there's all this cuddlebutt about it? Like, why?
Why do you? I don't even think about it. I don't even look at it.
I don't even, like, no, not even a little bit.
Like, they don't care about that shit. Like, the Saints put nothing into that. Nothing. Like, they literally just probably copy our ads and paste it in the spreadsheet, bro. Like,
bro, I wish I could have seen what was on our ads, like a date or like the day before they put it out, because I would have fucking howled if it was exactly the same. Just fucking would have howled. Let's get into this preseason game for the Texans. So, in case you're listening to this, again, we're doing our first preseason Zoom live stream. It's going to be on YouTube. So anyone who is a Patreon, feel free to join us. If you're in the Discord, the link is posted in the channel for the preseason game already. If you're not a frequent member of the Discord, you can reach out to myself or Ryan, and we'll get that link to you. You can DM us. You can email us. I want to say this. Please don't take offense to it. Like, if I ask or Ryan asks, like, can you like show proof for like our email? Like, bro, we bounces, bro. Like, you're not in Discord. you ain't invited to the park. You can watch on YouTube, bro, but you can't be in the club. Be outside the club.
Can't be in the club.
Not in the club. So the game's what, at 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's gonna be 7 p.m. Central time. Bro, I know you're gonna be in NOLA, bro. I know you're gonna be there.
I'm trying, man. Gotta get back,
bro. Even for the first time.
I'm trying, man.
I know.
I'm trying.
So what are the things? You give me two. Let's do three to four things each before we wrap up that you're looking for. It could be players, it could be things in general that you're looking for the preseason game against the Texans.
One of the things, kind of low key, but I want to see who's not playing. I feel like it kind of tells you something where it's just like, well, some of the reasons it might just like, you know, it's a veteran player, they don't feel the need to play it. But it also tells you that, like, they feel like this player is good. Like, we good with him. We don't need to see anything. We know he good. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of want to see who's not playing and, you know, see what's on my radar with that, especially with the younger players. Older players, I don't expect to see Cam Jordan playing.
Nope.
Like that, you know. But I kind of want to see what the younger players, like, you know, how they feel. I also want to see Andy Dalton, man. I think he's probably going to get a lot of play.
Yes.
I just want to see how he looks in the offense. I mean, the offense is going to be vanilla. You know, it's going to be straight up, you know, maybe, you know, two wide receivers or whatever. I just want to see how he looks in it, how comfortable he is. Running back is key. I really want to see.
Talk about it.
Like, it's time to shine, man. Like, running backs, this is your time to make money. Like, running backs That's one of the few positions that translate in the preseason. So I want to see who's going to take that mantle. Is it going to be Aaron Smith? Is it going to be they cut Malcolm Brown today? Your Tony Jones Jr.
Your boy.
Oh, my God.
Your boy.
See no more for my life.
I want. I know it wouldn't happen, but like one when we're out in New Orleans, like for the Raiders game, like that weekend. Could you like imagine like all of us, like our whole crew, going to like a bar or somewhere, and like both Tony Jones Jr. and Ty Montgomery?
Oh my God.
Sorry. speaking of the running back, that's a great point. Something that Alt Breer said, man, that caught my attention, just in case no one does like come to the forefront, is like, dang, Patriots might be interested in trading Damian Harris, bro.
Hey.
Caught my attention, bro. Like, if we've talked, like, I think Damian Harris would be the perfect compliment to AK, bro.
Oh, he'd be great, man. Great.
And, like, Damian Harris gets hurt a lot. So, like, for him not to be, like, the guy and could just come in when he needs to or, like, oh, bro. I got the fourth ready right now. The fourth in my hand. Bill, call me. Call us. Boom. But yes, I'm excited to see Abram Smith, your boy Tony Jones Jr., Azigbo. Like, you know, Azigbo almost made the team, and how well we thought he made the team, and how well he played.
Yeah.
The first time he was with the Saints. But we'll see. You're right, man. Running back is such a huge thing. I'm going to be interested. I put Reese's name down, but I just think in general. And we don't know if the whole, like, if the quote unquote first team offensive line is going to play or is it just going to be backups from the start. But maybe, like, the first team O line will get one series in. And if they do, I just want to see how they play. Like, yeah. Is there, because, like, this offensive line hasn't been together. Like, obviously, I know they don't have Teron at left tackle, but it's just been a mash unit, bro. Like, Ramchek
was out. Yeah, man.
McCoy's was out. Pete was out. The only one who wasn't out was Cesar Ruiz, bro. Only one.
Yeah.
But I want to see, like, that continuity if they do play. And because we've seen it, and I don't know how much this would tell us in preseason. It might not tell us anything, bro. But something that we saw so much last year was, like, offensive line, like, the run blocker was just shitty boo-boo, bro. Like,
it was not good.
It was terrible. Like, AK would go on the run play, boom, blown up. Ooh, 1 yard. Two yards.
So many times.
But, like, can I see, like, them moving people off blocks? I know it's preseason, right. But something that I visually want to see. I really am interested in seeing Justin Evans. Him being this very sneaky free agent pickup. That when it first happened, I was like, I mean, all right, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But to see that he's played free safety, he's played strong safety. Mm-hmm. When CD was out handling the family matter, he was covering the slot some. Bro, you don't have a safety. You don't have a player do that. That one, you don't trust. And two, that you don't think can handle it. And probably is a good chance to make the team. So I know he's had some good practices and some good moments in training camp, but like to continue that success story and kind of like his comeback, I want to see what he does in preseason. I think it's a big preseason for him because, I mean, he's playing football in training camp, but he hasn't played like football in like 2 years. I got Adebo written down. We talked about him a little bit earlier. Marshawn's not going to play, obviously.
No.
But if the Texans were to, you know, give Davis Mills, you know, a series or maybe a series or two and had our boy, Brandon Cooks out there. And they may not have Brandon Cooks out there. But if they had him out there, man, I want to see a Deebo on Cooks, bro.
Yeah, man.
I want to see, is some of the practices he's had and had great success in some of his practices, like, does that, you know, is it translate? Because we saw it pretty quickly that first Ravens game. It was like, man, they going at a Deebo, bro. Like, at his neck.
You remember that?
Yeah. I do. And he held up super well, and that was kind of how most of the season played out. So I'm kind of wanting to see, like, how good is that second year leap that we think he may be, his trajectory may be on. And then Chris Olave, man, I expect him to play. I just, he should. I know maybe Saints fans are like, no, I'm like, he's a rookie, man. Like, he needs to play out there.
He's a rookie. He's going to play.
He's going to play. And all I want to see from him, I want to see one of those flat. It don't need to be like a 50-yard touchdown, 40-yard touchdown. But you give me like a 25-yard over route, and I just see that speed just a little bit, bro. Just give me that cleavage where it's cut down, where you just see like it's almost there. It's almost in. That's all I want. That's all I want.
All I want.
Nothing else.
And they can sit him. They can sit him after that.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
I think if he shows something early, they're gonna sit him. They're gonna be like, okay.
His night's gonna be over pretty quickly. So I want to see him, but I also kind of want to see. I mean, I couldn't even tell you any. I don't think we're gonna get this because I know he's on that ramp up kind of management thing and everything. I know he's not gonna play, bro. But if he had a chance to play, if he played. Give me some Derek Stingley on Chris Olave for a series of two, bro. Ooh. I don't think we're going to get it because they're really managing his, you know, trying to get him Derek Stingley ready for week one. But if there's a chance that Sting could play on Saturday against Chris Olave,
woo. Yeah, buddy.
I want it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it does, I want it. That's it, man. Like, I'm excited. Like I've said before, I'm excited about football season. I'm excited about everything starting. But like we've said before, we are super excited about this upcoming season just because we're truly going to be sharing it with our Patreon community, like our listeners community completely, but our Patreon community especially for supporting us and is helping us get to where we are. Like we're doing a lot of things on the pod to improve the sound quality, improve how we sound. Like we're doing so much and we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have people that supported us, you know, for fucking talking about football once an hour, twice, you know, 2 hours a week or whatever it is. So thank y'all so much. I think this upcoming football season, regardless of what the outcome is for the Saints, is going to be a ride that it's going to be a very fucking fun one. And as the regular season is kind of getting close, you know, just for people who may be new to our show, we typically record, we record two episodes during the season. We record the preview pod for the whatever upcoming game there is. And then we record the post-game pods, which has kind of become like our staple. We record usually like the night of the game, and that's usually up Sunday night, early Monday morning, depending on when the game is. So if you're not a Patreon already, if you want to be along for the ride, please, you can find us at patreon.com/SaintsTwitterPod. It's in my bio on Twitter. It's in Ryan's bio on Twitter. It's in our bio on Instagram. There's still time to people to become patrons and just, you know, continue what we built. Like none of us have thought that this would be where it is right now, but it is. And we're happy that it is. Yeah. So, anything else that you can think about or anything before we get out of here?
Oh man, I'm ready for a preseason game, man. Like I want to mention also Peyton Turner, bro. Like,
yes.
Show me what you got, oh, daddy. That's a good one, man. Like, show that's me a good something, one. Man.
Because he gonna play.
Show me play. Something. He gonna play. I don't think he played last preseason last year.
No, he didn't.
So he didn't. Man, like he's been, you know, he's been there most of training camp. So, man, like, if you're going to, I'm sure they're going to play him quite a bit.
Yeah.
You going against the second, third string.
Dominate.
You know, right tackle or whatever, man. Beat that bit. Beat him.
Domination.
See it, man.
Rub
it in my face.
Please. One last thing I didn't mention in talking about how explosive this offense can be. I talked about, you know, the wide receivers and all that in the offensive line. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about, and this is another thing to watch in preseason. Is Adam Trautman getting his name back? Is Finding Nemo going to become Big Fish again? Can that happen? Can it happen?
Mm.
Because he's had, practice and all that, sounds like he's had a damn good training camp. And maybe he just had the yips last year. He was maybe injured. He had a lot of pressure kind of just being also like, all right, you're tight end one now in this offense. And maybe it was a lot, whatever. But now, you know, it's kind of like this, he doesn't have to be tight end one because that's not going to be Taysom's role. So you could just be a high level tight end two. Like, I want to see, I would be surprised, highly surprised if Taysom plays because I don't think he really needs to play and he's still ramping up. But yeah. I expect Adam Trautman to play and I'm watching him, man. Like, I want to see the good reports. Like, I read from yesterday. Like, he going up the seam making plays. Like, oh, we got seam plays from the tight end again. The seam is back.
Oh.
The seam is back. So that's another player that for sure is going to have my attention on Saturday. I'm already planning Friday what I'm going to go to BevMo, pick up, get some drinks, alcohol for Saturday. It's going to be lit in the Zoom. It's going to be lit. We're excited about it. So
hey, don't miss it.
Don't miss it. Thank y'all for supporting us. So this is our preview for the Texas game. So today's Wednesday night. We will be back Saturday night. Hopefully, yeah, we should be back Saturday night. Saturday night to record our thoughts on the preseason game and how the Saints did against the Texans, and go and kind of break down the game and what we kind of saw. But anyway, thank y'all so much. We truly, truly appreciate y'all. We hope y'all can hear the difference in the audio. Become a Patreon, give us a retweet, a like on Instagram, a retweet on Twitter when this episode is posted so we can just continue to build momentum. We appreciate y'all.
Peace.
With that, we're out.
Peace.